May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the fellowship of our Heavenly Father, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this morning hour. Let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered on this beautiful winter morning, and as we have already sung in that pre-service song of the treasure of you as our only light, even as we experience the light of the natural sun, how it shines seemingly even more brightly on the winter snow, we so often in our walk of life feel the coldness and corruption that comes from within the depths of our own sin fallen flesh. But yet, when we are able to gather before your word, in the light of your grace, in the sunshine of your kingdom, we are able to, despite our sinfulness, rejoice in the victory that has been accomplished through the work of your dear Son. And dear Father, this morning, even with empty hearts and maybe facing trembling and fears, we would ask that you, through your gracious word, would open unto us the depths and the riches of your grace. And dear Father, even that song reminded us how we would want to gently continue to call those who are on the outside of your kingdom. And it is still the prayer of the hearts of your children and those of us who have near and dear ones who have rejected your call, that you would still gently and lovingly call unto all of those on the outside of your kingdom, that they too may experience once again the love and joy of the Son of God as we also have in our hearts. And dear Father, as we gather before your word this morning, we implore that you would, as only you can, open unto us that morsel of grace which is needful for each one of us on our journey of faith. And for all the sighs and thoughts of our hearts, we enclose even in that perfect prayer that you have taught through your Son. That our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greetings of the new year from myself and my family and your sister congregation there in Rockford. The theme on the church calendar for today is Jesus reveals his divine power. And I thought to read the gospel text for today which is recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, from verses 3 through 26. And again, with that prayer of heart that God would open unto us His Word, I read in Jesus' name. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to its son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidest truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth, in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. I'm sure most of you here have heard this text read and probably spoken from many times. It's a very familiar and comforting text that speaks unto us of the glory and divine nature of Jesus, and speaks unto us, we could say, who believe so preciously of the living water of life, which continues to sustain each of us on our journey. In this text, Jesus had departed Judea, and he was headed north to the land of Galilee. And of course, he had to travel by foot. And looking up the distance there on the internet, I found it was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 100 miles journey. So a journey by foot would have taken several days to travel. In those days, they would perhaps travel 20 to 30 miles a day on a journey such as this. And it's interesting when we hear from our text, as the woman pointed out, there was this difference between the Jews and the Samaritans. And it was such a difference in life and in doctrine, perhaps more so in doctrine. I believe the Samaritans were once part of the Jewish faith, but had broken off at some point in history. And there was such a bitterness between those nations that even the Jews themselves, when they traveled north from that area, from Jerusalem to Galilee, the same journey that Jesus was now journeying, most of the time they would take a detour to the east and follow the Jordan River. They would go on the opposite side of the river and avoid Samaria. But in our text, we see clearly that that was not the case with Jesus. It says that he must needs go through Samaria. And of course, it was the most direct and shortest route to travel. And as he did so, we can also recognize from our text that he was accompanied by his disciples. And there were practical matters that needed to be attended to along the way. As they got to this city of Samaria, they were on the outskirts of that city in this area called Sychar. And that would have been roughly halfway to their destination. And it says that it was about the sixth hour of the day. So it would have been late afternoon. And they would have been certainly more than ready to take a rest and perhaps start thinking about where they were going to stay that evening and attend to the needs of food for that evening, which our text says the disciples had gone into the city to purchase. So now Jesus was resting there by the well outside of the city while the disciples went in to purchase food. And as he sat there, and of course, he being the Lord and Savior of life, he probably already knew the reason why he needed to stay there in that place at that time. Because a woman soon came there to draw water from the well. And of course, in that area of the world, water is a pretty scarce commodity, and it's these wells, they are vital to the sustenance of life for the people as well as for the animals. And these wells would be probably few and far between. And this one happened to be, of course, as we mentioned, on the outskirts of the city. And as Jesus sat there and this woman came to draw water, it's interesting to see how he asked her to draw water from the well for him to drink. And it was his way of initiating a conversation with her, we could say. And of course, he would have been recognizable by his dress and appearance as a Jew, which of course Jesus was. And this woman was used to being avoided by the Jews. And the question stopped her, that how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And there's a reminder even in that picture of how Jesus dealt with all people. And it's a good reminder for us as well. Even though we as believers would want to say that we treat all people the same and we have no prejudices, we know that in our human nature there are prejudices that are within us. And this is a lesson that we could learn even from Jesus here, that love and compassion should be shown unto all men, unto everyone in this world. For God has created all, has given life to every human that walks upon this earth. And in His eyes, He loves all the same. And His desire would be that all would be called unto repentance and that all would believe in that work that He has prepared for each one of us. So that is one of the lessons we could learn from this text as a reminder, even though we recognize truly that our prejudices and our human natures are such that it's a constant battle for us. But yet we could be reminded by Jesus' example to treat others, even as He taught in the Sermon on the Mount, that we would always endeavor to treat others how we ourselves would want to be treated. But Jesus' answer to the question of this woman is, we could say, a very simple answer in one sense, but also speaks very much. And He said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. So here we start to see the picture of the primary point of this text, which taking place at a well, of course, the central theme there we could say is water, but it's something more than the temporal water. He's referring to living water. And when we think of the importance of temporal water, first, as we already mentioned, this well would have been of vital importance there. And by the way, that well still exists. At least the historians believe that they have identified this well that Jesus drew this, or that Jesus spoke to this woman at this well of Sychar. And today there is, I believe it's a Greek Orthodox monastery built at that site. And inside of that, you can find pictures of it on the internet, but there's a picture of a small altar, you could say, or a depiction of a place where they would go and light candles and worship around that. And they have a bucket there where you could still lower and draw water from that well. And, of course, we know from history that oftentimes these places in scriptures that are referred to, and of course, in an outward sense, these places that are known of and still exist have become somewhat of a shrine, we could say, to many of this world who go there to seek some comfort and knowledge and perhaps revelation of God from these physical places. But anyhow, this picture of water, of course, water is the sustenance of life. Where there's life, there's always water to be had. Life would not exist without water. And perhaps in our time, especially in our area here in the upper Midwest, where water is readily available, and it's pretty rare when we experience times of drought, we take it pretty much for granted, especially of the younger generation, where all their lives, to get water, all you had to do was turn on the faucet and water comes. But of course, in prior times, it was not quite so easy. One had to dig a well and have a means of drawing water from that well, initially manually until the inventions of pumps and so on. But in this time, of course, it was very manual, in fact, very difficult. This well was hewn out of rock, solid rock, and it was about 135 feet deep, from what I understand. So first of all, to even get to that water to create this well would have been much work. But now even to draw water from that well, one had to go quite deeply down into the well, and then using a bucket of some sort and a rope, pull that water back up from that depth. But Jesus said unto her that if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. So what was Jesus referring to here of living water. We could simply say this, of course, that he was speaking of the gospel, the living gospel, from which every person who wishes to do the will of God and to make it to the destination there in heaven must live of. And as scriptures remind us that the gospel is our source of strength, and it's the power of the gospel that carries us home one day to heaven. And without it, there is no life. But this woman still didn't understand. She had on her mind this temporal water, and she said unto him that you don't have anything to draw the water up, and the well is deep. So where are you going to get this living water from? And then she said, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And again, Jesus patiently taught her and said unto her that whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So now Jesus begins to reveal his divine power, and something more begins to open unto this woman, that this is now something much greater than what she had imagined. That he's not speaking of water from this well. He's speaking of something else. And this is a message also for us, dear brothers and sisters, on this day. When we endeavor in our own battle of faith, we know that from a temporal sense, that the cares and worries of this life often overtake us and consume us, capture our attention, and of course it is necessary because we are yet of this earth, that we attend to the needs of this life. But yet, Jesus is reminding us that even the temporal water of which we must live in order to survive is something that we thirst for again and again, that whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. And of course, we all experience this, even though we, as I said, we take this water, this natural water, for granted so often. I'm sure there have been times in your life where the thirst has been so great that when you were finally able to get a drink of clear, refreshing, cold water, that was probably the best thing you ever tasted. And it is such that when we are the thirstiest, the water tastes the best. But Jesus says that whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So now we have an interesting picture of not having thirst. And I don't know that I fully understand this picture either myself. But perhaps what Jesus is teaching us is that this essential water of life, of spiritual life, is a well that will never go dry. And it is a well which, by faith, as Jesus says, is in him. It is in those who believe. And it is not a well that comes from within ourselves, but as Jesus says, that it is water that I shall give him. This is a treasure of faith, dear brothers and sisters. God gives. It's not our power. It's not our water. It is a water of life, but it is given purely by the grace of God. And it's given freely, as scriptures also tell us, that it is without money, without price. It has been purchased and paid for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he has gone ahead to prepare the way. And he has accomplished the victory. And he has given unto us this water of life, this message of the gospel, which, although in a temporal sense and even in a spiritual sense on our journey, we feel the need for this reassuring message of the gospel again and again. But yet, we should not have to ever thirst, because God will, from the wells of his riches and his grace, as long as we desire to believe, he will give us that water of life. And that is what this woman then began to realize, and said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And perhaps she was still thinking of it in a temporal sense, that if there was this magical water that she could drink once and never have to go through the work of traveling outside of the city to this well and reaching deep within that well to draw up water again and again. And as we said, that would have been much work, because if she was drawing for herself and her animals, it would have been many bucketfuls going down into that well and back out again many times just in one trip. So perhaps she was still thinking of this from a temporal sense. But Jesus continued to teach her and remind her, and he said, "Go and call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou said truly. So here we see again a picture of the divine knowledge and power of Jesus, who is able to see into the heart of every man. And in this, Jesus reminded her that the life that she had been living was not according to the will of God. And there was a need for her to also have this living water. And she then said unto him, that I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And here was one of the differences between the Samaritans and the Jews. They had their places of worship. The Samaritans here in this area of Samaria, and the Jews, of course, with their temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus even addressed this, that woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this also is a good reminder unto each of us, that the gift of faith which we own today is not based on anything temporal. It's not a physical kingdom in which we live, but it is a kingdom that is drawn of God by and through the Spirit. And it is a kingdom which without faith is impossible to comprehend, as Jesus reminded Nicodemus, that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this was a lesson unto this Samaritan woman as well, that in this place or that place is not the question when it comes to the worship of God. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this is something that perhaps is not always so easy to comprehend. We live in a kingdom today that is, we could say, blessed very much temporally, when God has given us a time of work and a time of building, and has given us these great temporal blessings. The church in which we worship today was a gift and blessing of God, which gives you here in this congregation a temporal place of worship. And so it is for most of our congregations in this time, that God has seen fit to give us these places of worship. But yet we also must recognize that the true treasure of faith is not in the outward, it's not in the temporal buildings. And it is good for each one of us to ask this question that why have I come to services on this day? Have I come here to be seen of men and to have this outward fellowship? Or have I come needful of this living water of life, which is what each of us in our spirit long for? And it's not something that can be accomplished in an outward sense, but it is and always is a matter of the heart. And dear brothers and sisters, may we be reminded even by the precious Word of God that God doesn't require anything of us. He has given us what we need. And all that is required is that we would believe, as we were reminded last evening, even in our parents' discussion, in another portion of the Gospel of John, when the question was asked of Jesus that what might we do, that we might do the works of God. And Jesus' answer was to believe on Him whom He hath sent. And such faith is only given as a gift. We can't draw this up from within ourselves. And even this well of life, which by faith is in the hearts of those who believe, is something that if it is not kept as a treasure, and it is not held on to as the most important matter, that this is a gift that can be lost. And dear brothers and sisters, today, even now, I want to encourage you that you can, no matter how you have felt coming to services today, you can believe just as you find yourselves. Sins and faults of the journey forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And you can believe unto peace and freedom and joy. And you can count yourself then as one of those who has this living water which will sustain you all the way to the destination. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Even this last portion of our text is a reminder unto us. Even today, Jesus speaks and teaches. He has given us a comforter, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that guides us. And as Jesus even comforted his disciples when he was leaving them, that he would give this comforter to teach all things whatsoever he has said unto them. And that comforter continues today to preach the message of Jesus Christ, reminds of his work, teaches his gospel, preaches the forgiveness of sins. And that is now what this woman began to recognize. She saw and began to open her eyes of faith. And the testimony of this is later after the text that we read, when this woman went into the city and began to testify of her Lord and Savior, who she had met there at the well. And it says, many believed because of his word. And dear brothers and sisters, again, we have permission today to continue. Yes, it is a battle. Yes, the temptations and sins of the flesh are close. And many times, even can get the best of us. But we must not despair. There is a greater power when Christ, who is dwelling in us through His Spirit, promises us that He who has overcome the world will also carry you safely to the destination. So again, lift up your hearts and believe. Sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And even coming here before you, I have felt the weariness and even the doubts coming to this place to serve, that of what kind of example could I ever be even unto you? And for my faults and failings, I would ask that, can I believe my sins forgiven? I wish to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.